Well, turning your Bibles, Hebrews 13. We're continuing, of course, our study of this powerful letter written to Jewish believers first century. We've seen that the goal of the letter is to turn these believers back to God, to help them go into maturity. Because what's going on? Well, we've seen the study over these months, and we're almost to the end. In fact, we're just a few studies, 2 to 3 more studies, and we're through. We've seen the problem was that these Jewish believers trusted Christ, persecution came, turned away from Christ, went back under the law system, and they're not growing and they're not going into maturity. That's what we've seen. We've seen that the goal of the letter is to turn them back, help them grow, help them go into maturity and make a difference for Christ. How has the author tried to do that? Well, it's really twofold, but one is he's tried to show that Jesus Christ is better than anything connected with the law, better than anything. In chapters 1 through 10, he showed that Jesus is the great high priest, the final sacrifice for sin, the better tabernacle, the better covenant, all of that. Then in chapter 11, he tried to encourage these believers to say, listen, all these people in the Old Testament trusted God, you can too. And then in 12 and 13, these are charges to go on to get right and to go on to maturity. The last section, we saw some neat things. He talked about loving one another and a marriage to be honorable and show hospitality to one another and have the contentment and security is found in Christ. And we saw all that sort of thing. And then last time, we saw some great truths about Jesus, that he is the final sacrifice for sin forever and that he never changes. That was some great things. This evening, two things we're going to talk about, two big areas. One, we're going to talk about being identified with Christ. The identification with Christ. The charge is for these believers to be connected with Christ, to show that they belong to Him. And they've not done that, of course. And then the second thing is to offer sacrifices. As believers, we're priests of God, and sometimes we don't think about it because when we think of Old Testament, we think about these priests and they offered animal sacrifices, and we know that Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin forever. So we think we don't offer sacrifices. The truth is we do. And we'll see what the sacrifices we offer, and we'll see 3 of the 4 sacrifices that we're going to talk about tonight are found in Hebrews 13. Our passage tonight really is going to be, we'll see it in just a minute, the verses, but it's going to be started about verse 13 and go through verse 16, and we'll see how that ties together. We want to be encouraged as we study the Word of God, as we see our identification with Christ, and as priest, we offer up sacrifices to God. There's some great things. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. What a great time that we have. Thank you for each one that's here. A good time that we can come together and we can worship you and we can sing songs and praises. And then we can pray to you. And then, Lord, we can study the Word of God. So we ask you right now that as we look at Hebrews 13, as we see these verses, that you would teach us and that we'd be encouraged from that, that we would be built up and edified and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, that we'd be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we'd be ready to make an impact, that we would be equipped and trained so that when we go into this community that you could use us in a way that is beyond what we can imagine. Lord, I pray for each one in the room. Not only tonight will it be a great time of worship as we think about our Savior and respond to Him, but it'd be a time of training and with encouragement as we study the Word. Lord, we ask you to teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, sacrifice, it's kind of a hard word because what does it mean? It literally means to give up something. Think about how it's used. We think about baseball. You know, the guy gets up to bat and he puts down a sacrifice bun, and he gets out on purpose. He sacrifices himself to advance the runner. Or let's think about some other sacrifices. How about the single mom who works 2 to 3 jobs sacrificing so that her children can go to college? Or the athlete, as the Olympics are going to start probably, I think, Friday, and it's a great time, and you think about these athletes who have sacrificed so much to train to be able to complete in a sport. Or how about believers who give of their time, their money, their possessions to further the ministry, a sacrifice? We can also think of sacrifice in a negative way, like the man that we say he sacrificed his family for his job or something like that. Or we see a person who sacrifices their life, their careers based on drugs or alcohol or doing something that's wrong, and they get in trouble and they lose their careers or jobs. When you think of Christianity, we think of sacrifice. We think about God and His Word. We think of, first of all, the greatest sacrifice of all, and that is Jesus Christ. As He gave His sacrifice, as He came to this earth, He died on the cross, He paid for sin, He rose again, He offered Himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. And, you know, the great thing about it is all who believe in Jesus have eternal life. It's that simple. We also think of the Old Testament priests and their sacrifices, how they would bring these daily offerings at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, and then all these animals that were brought, and they were sacrifices for sin, and there were sacrifices for thanksgiving and all those kind of things. And they were pictures, they foreshadows of the coming Messiah. And then we think of New Testament believers and the sacrifices. And some people go, whoa, wait a minute, sacrifices? What sacrifices do we offer? Well, we know that Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin forever, so we don't offer any sacrifices that deal with sin. But we do offer some sacrifices, and we're going to see what they are tonight as the writer of the Hebrews mentions three different sacrifices in verse 15 and 16. And we'll see how they are, and we'll tie them in with one other sacrifice that we see in the Scripture. We want to be encouraged as priests of God to make sacrifices for our Savior. And we'll see how that ties together. Let's begin. We're in the section, of course, of the book of Hebrews, in which we've been seeing a contrast right at the very end where he's talked about the contrast between animal sacrifices and Jesus as the final sacrifice. Look at verse 11 where he talked about animal sacrifices, Hebrews 13:11. He says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. He made this analogy. He said, you remember the bodies of the animals on the Day of Atonement, they were brought in, they were offered a sacrifice, they were taken outside the city and they were burned. And his contrast there is there's animals, there's an earthly tabernacle, and they covered sin. Then his contrast, therefore Jesus also, he might sanctify the people. That means set them apart, make them holy, sanctify the people through his own blood, not the blood of an animal, but his own blood. He also suffered outside the gate. But there's the contrast there. He's the Son of God. His sacrifice didn't cover sins. His sacrifice paid for sin. His sacrifice makes people holy, and that's by his sacrifice. So the Son of God is heavenly sacrifice, and he makes people holy. His point, once again, we saw last week, Jesus is superior. Now, from this, we see the two issues that I mentioned earlier tonight. One is we're going to talk about our identification with Christ. He's going to tell them they need to identify with Christ. And you know, we do too. And there are a lot of believers who don't identify with Christ. I mean, and I'll tell you what I mean in a minute about it. And then we need to talk about the sacrifice that we offer as believers. I've got an outline, I think, of the passage. And this is it, Hebrews 13:13-16, to come be our outline. We're going to talk about identify with Jesus Christ. Bear the reproach and see the eternal. And that's the what we're going to talk about is how we identify with Christ. He wants these believers to identify with Jesus Christ and look to the eternal rather than the temporal. And then the second thing is offer sacrifices. And look what he's got. He's got praise and doing good and sharing and all this pleases God. We'll talk about how that fits together in a minute. And you know, you may not realize it, but you already offered a sacrifice tonight. You did when you sang those songs and you lifted up your voices with the sacrifice of praise about our Savior. That's a sacrifice, and we'll talk about it as we go through it. We've seen Jesus is the final sacrifice. He's the superior sacrifice. He has offered his life, and he shed his blood outside the city. Now, there's an analogy there, and I don't know why it's a big deal, but it is, as far as the writer of Hebrews is concerned. He's saying, on the Day of Atonement in which sin was covered, the animals that were sacrificed were taken outside the city and burned. And the analogy is, Jesus, who made the final sacrifice for sin, who makes us holy, was sacrificed outside the city. It's just an analogy. And so he says that, and then look what he says. He wants these believers especially, to identify with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. He says, so let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. The idea is this. Now that we see about Jesus, now he's died outside the camp, that's who he is. Let us, and he makes an... Look and notice he didn't say, let you guys do this. He says, let us. He's saying, all believers now, he's saying, let's identify with Christ. And look what he says. Let's go out to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. Let's go out to him. Identify with him. Now the truth is, these Jewish believers were not identifying with Christ. They trusted Christ at the very beginning. The persecution came, and what did they do? They went back under the law. They're actually identifying with who? With the law, but that's who? With Moses. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what these believers are doing is they're not identifying with Jesus of Nazareth. They're identifying with Moses and the Mosaic law. Now, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of Christians who do the same thing. They believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, but they think the Christian life is the law. And so they live their Christian life under the Mosaic law. And what they're really doing is not identifying with Christ and the grace. They're identifying with Moses and the law. And when you read the book of Romans, and that we're just about through with that on Sunday morning as well, Paul really in Romans 6 and 7 really deals with this whole issue. We're not under law, we're under grace. Don't put yourself under law. If you put yourself under law, you sin. Don't identify with Moses. We're not to identify with Moses. That's why when people talk about we're under the Ten Commandments, the truth is we're not under the Ten Commandments. Now, 9 of the 10 commandments are restated in the New Testament. 9 of the 10. But we're not under the Mosaic Law 10 commandment part. The Mosaic Law consisted of the law, the statutes, and the ordinances. All three. You can't, the Bible doesn't say now part of the law disappeared. It says we're not under any of the Mosaic Law. But we're under the truths and principles of the New Testament. So he says, don't identify with the law part. He says, let's go out to him. Let's go out to Christ. Let's go outside the camp. Let's identify with him. What's inside the city that they're identifying with? What's still standing? The temple. They're identifying with the temple. He's saying, go outside the city. Jesus was sacrificed outside the city. He wasn't sacrificed in the temple. It was outside the city. That's the earthly temple. He was sacrificed and took his blood to the heavenly temple. It's powerful. So he says, let's go outside to him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. He's saying, show your connection with Jesus. And bearing the reproach is the word reproach there is stigma, the Greek word stigma, which we get the stigma. And then that idea, he's saying, when you identify with Christ, you identify with one who died, one who was put on a cross. It, when this was written, to be put on a cross was not a positive thing, it was a negative thing. You were a criminal somehow. He's saying, identify with Christ. What did Jesus say? If they hated me, they will hate you. When you connect with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, when you stand for Christ in this world, in this community, in the classroom, in your offices, when you stand for Him in a bold way, there are going to be some people automatically against you. And you might as well face it. And so he says, let's go outside the camp. Let's go outside there, bearing his reproach. He died for us. We're to identify with him as our Savior. Are we showing those around us that we're connected with Jesus Christ? Do people know you're a Christian? Do people know what you believe? Do people know what you stand for? I mean, there are a lot of people in the United States that say they're Christians. In fact, I've been reading a George Barna book. You know, he's the guy that gives all the statistics, and he writes and gets all the stuff. And he found out that in the United States, about 84% of the people in the United States say that they think they're Christian. Then when he goes to churches and basically asking churches, how many people in this church thinks they're Christians? He gets up in the 90s. But then when he asks the question, what does it take to have eternal life? Less than 40% say faith in Jesus Christ. They say things like trying to live a good life or going to church or doing this. So people are confused. And there are a lot of people, there are a lot of Christians who don't identify with Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of people who are confused, but then there are a lot of people who are Christians, but they don't identify. So he says, let's go outside the camp. Let's go out to him bearing his reproach. How in the world do we identify with Jesus Christ? There's two ways, two things. Number one, the first way that a believer shows their identification in Christ is what? Their baptism. That's exactly right. Have you ever heard people say this? Well, you don't have to walk down an aisle in order to be saved, but you need to be able to show people you believed in Jesus, so that's why you ought to have them come down to the front. How do believers show people they have believed in Jesus? By their baptism, not by walking down an aisle. We show our identification with Christ. You know, when we do baptism, we're going to do one on the 22nd. When we do that, we talk about the fact that their baptism, going in the water and coming back up, is a picture of the death and resurrection. They've identified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, as Christ died, they died as he was buried. They were buried as he rose again to new life. We rose again to new life. That's the identification. So the very first identification that we can make as believers is our baptism. The second is the whole aspect of our lifestyle as we stand for Christ, faith and obedience, living for him. These Jewish believers were not identifying with Christ. That's why he says, let's go out to him. Get away from the law and the temple, which is still standing. Now, when was the temple destroyed? Anybody know? AD 70. So this book, the book of Hebrews, had to be written before when? Before AD 70. They're still offering the sacrifices. So he says, go out to him, go out to the outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Why? Because his sacrifice is better, and that the law is temporary, while what Jesus Christ did is eternal. Look at the next verse. For here we do not have a lasting city. Where is here? Where is it? Where are they? Okay, but what city? is Jerusalem. Is Jerusalem the lasting city? That Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that's even on the earth today, is that the lasting city? No, it's the holy city, but it's not the lasting city. He says, we do not have a lasting city. See, because connected with Jerusalem, especially at that time, was the law. If you came from anywhere in the world to Jerusalem, what would you come to see? The temple. And what was the main focus of the temple in Jerusalem? Sacrificial system. See, and so he says, look, we do not have a lasting city. Even today, which we would say Jerusalem is the capital of the world, and it's going to be the capital of the world. In fact, that's where Jesus Christ, when he comes back, according to Zechariah and the book of Acts, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to set up the capital in Jerusalem, and he'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he'll rule for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. But guess what? Jerusalem's going to be what? Destroyed. That's not the lasting city. In fact, when you read Revelation 21, what do you see? I saw a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. So he says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking literally that which is to come, that city which is to come. What city is coming? The new Jerusalem. He says, listen, connected with the law is the old Jerusalem. Connected with the new Jerusalem is Jesus. He says, so you guys need to leave that city. He's telling them figuratively, of course. You know, you need to leave the city and come out to Christ and identify with him, because everything connected with this city is just temporal. The old law system was temporal. He says, but we're looking to the eternal, to the city. We already saw back earlier in chapter 11 about that they were all looking for the city whose builder and architect is God, the eternal city, the new Jerusalem. So he says, identify with Jesus Christ. They're identifying with the law. He says, identify with Jesus Christ. And as believers, we need to look to the eternal. It's pretty easy, if we're not careful, to really get caught up into things here. And, you know, I've done some studies in Sunday school in the last year about the whole idea of materialism and how it just grabs us. And if we're not careful, we're wanting things. And you've heard me say this so many times, you're probably tired of it. But the truth is, and I don't know, God has really taught me this, I think, in this last year, that just stands out to me. It's not things, it's people. The things you've got to invest in, and the thing that will bring you contentment and satisfaction and joy in life, is your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Things will never bring any of that. Things will not bring contentment. Things will not bring security. It won't bring any of that. In fact, they'll just break, you know, or you'll just want more. So you can never have contentment, and you'll never be secure. Only in your relationship with Christ and in your relationship with people can you have any of that kind of thing. And so that's why you've got to look for the eternal, the things that last forever. So he says, identify with Jesus, not the law system. That's why the book of Hebrews talks about, and run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, from this, he gives one of my favorite little sections in the Bible. He talks about our priesthood and the fact that we offer sacrifices. I remember the first time I really understood this, I never even thought about it. I thought all the priests apart was, of course, the Old Testament, and there were these priests, and then after the sacrificial system was over with, there aren't any more priests except Jesus as the great high priest. That's what I thought. But then when you begin to study the Bible, you find out in the New Testament that the book of Revelation says that we're a kingdom of priests. And if you find in 1 Peter, it says that we are priests offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. And what you really find out is that every believer is a priest. There were several years ago, about 10 years ago, people began to push this idea of priesthood of the believer. And instead of meaning that you, as a priest of God, get to serve him, they were using it to say, since you're a priest of God, you decide what you believe, not necessarily what anybody else says. They were pushing priesthood of believer that way, and because they're saying everybody's got the right to believe whatever they want. I'm saying, no, priesthood of the believer doesn't mean that. Priesthood of the believer means you serve God. And how do you serve him? You offer sacrifices. In fact, spiritual sacrifices. I've got four of them listed, I think, right here. And we're going to talk about them. The first one is our bodies. That's found in Romans. But then the other three are found in the Hebrews 13:15 and 13:16. And they're the sacrifice of our bodies, the sacrifice of praise. Praise and thanksgiving go together. I'll show it to you. The sacrifice of good works and the sacrifice of sharing. So in reality, When you say to God, take my life and use me for your glory, you've made a spiritual sacrifice to God. When you praise God and sing a song and be thankful to God, you've made a sacrifice to God. When you do some good works, when you do something good and you've once again offered a sacrifice, when you share, when you give, when you take what you've got and you give to others, you made a sacrifice to God. That's an incredible thing. Look what he says. He says, through him, verse 15, through him then, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. I think praise and thanksgiving go together here. And then he says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, notice what he says, such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, I want you to think about four sacrifices. One of them's not in here. The three are here. The other one is the one that's famous, that's found in Romans 12. It's the sacrifice of our lives or our bodies. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? Living and holy sacrifices. I call this discipleship. I think there's a great confusion, and we've talked about this a lot, so I won't go into a lot of details, but there's great confusion about the difference between salvation and discipleship. When people mix them up, you'll end up with works for salvation. Salvation is always by grace through faith plus nothing. It cost us nothing. It cost God his son. It was a great cost, but it's free to us. That's why it's by grace. You're saved through faith. It's the gift of God. So that's salvation. The discipleship cost, and it cost us. That's why Jesus talked about, if you want to be my disciple, you got to take up your cross, die to yourself, and follow me. That's why Romans, where Paul is writing to believers, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, believers, what you got to do is offer your lives. There's some people who are confused, and they think you get saved by offering God your life. You get saved by believing in Christ as your Savior. You become a disciple when you say to God, take my life and use me. So I think the first sacrifice that is a big one, of course, is to offer our lives as living sacrifices, not being shaped by this world, but being transformed by the Word of God. It's powerful. I love this. I think this is what, there's no doubt. Now, I trusted Christ at 19. You've heard me say this before, but I trusted Christ at 19. And that took me, basically, I was dead in trespasses and sins and made me alive in Christ. And I'll never be the same. And, of course, I have eternal life and I'm a child of God. And all that happened the moment I believed. But what's amazing is I did not really grow as a Christian. In fact, I on purpose didn't grow. I mean, there was just so many things happening that, you know, I was in college, and it wasn't until some years later that I actually got to the realization that I wanted to live for Christ. And when I offered my life to him and said, I want my life to count for you, I've been saved for a number of years. My life changed. My lifestyle changed. And that's, I think it's so important that we come to God as believers and say, take my life. Take my life, use me for your glory. I give you my life. That's a sacrifice. And it cost us. Sacrifices cost. There's the second one is the sacrifice. Oh, it's not up there, but don't worry about it. It's the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then let us continually. Now, well, notice how he says it. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That's something, isn't it? How are you going to continually offer up sacrifice of praise? How are you going to continually pray? Because pray without ceasing. I think it's that idea of attitude, attitude of prayer, attitude of praise, attitude of thanksgiving. When we go through life, notice what he says. That is, he is going to explain what the sacrifice of praise is. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When we sing songs and we praise his name and we thank him and we say, thank you, Lord, for saving me and thank you. We're actually offering up sacrifices, sacrifices of praise. And he says, do that continually. Go through life with an attitude of thankfulness and praise. Now, sometimes it's not easy to do that. We're not talking about our circumstances. Because in our circumstances, there are times things are not good at all. Things are hard. Things are bad. Some bad things have happened. Something that, you know, and you can't, you're not going around saying, well, this is miserable, but I'm going to be really happy. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about your fellowship and relationship with Christ, which supersedes all of your circumstances. And he says, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. We need to do that. I love the 1 Thessalonians passage, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks. There's your thanksgiving and praise right there in that one little section. It's on and on and off. We offer our lives. We offer our praise. The third one is we do good. we do good. Notice what he says in verse 16. And do not neglect doing good. He's going to list two in a row. Do not neglect doing good and sharing. But let's look at doing good. Doing good means basically doing good. That's what it means. You know, the Greek word for good. Yeah, that's what it is. But the bottom line is take the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to you and in a way touch lives for Christ. Do good to all people. It is amazing, the Titus passage, if you've never done this, take the book of Titus, it's three chapters, and look for all the places where he tells you to do good. There's about four or five places where he tells you to do good. And I think it's important that we realize that we're on this earth to do good. There are some people that will never listen to us until we do good. Some people look at you, and if you're not different than the rest of the world, they're not going to listen to your message. But we want to do good. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. I have people say to me, and they come up and they get all bent out of shame and say, now we're going to automatically do good works because we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. God's plan is that we do good works. He didn't say, I'm going to make you do these good works, and so you just kind of go through life and you'll automatically do them. No, if you look at the scripture carefully, he says over and over, to walk worthy, to do good to all men, do this, do this, do this. Titus 3:8 says, be careful to do good deeds. By this, it is profitable for men. Do good deeds. So when you do good, and there are many of you in this room that have done good things for me. You've done something. I go, thank you. What? Thanks so much for doing that. What you really did was offer a sacrifice to God. I think that's incredible. I mean, I really think it is. When you reach out to others, when you do good, you're offering sacrifices to God. The fourth one, as he says right here, do not neglect doing good and sharing. Sharing. That's giving what you have. Sharing is what God gives you. You take a portion of or part of whatever God gives you, and you use it. You share. That's a key thing. Ephesians 4:28 says, be ready to share with those in need. When you know, and this is what's amazing to me about this church, and this goes all the way back when we had 15 to 20 people, all the way up to now, and we got a lot more than that. Anytime you as a church, and individually of course, but anytime that you know that there's a need, you've always tried to meet that need. When we had 20 people, somebody in that church had a problem, the other 19 would say, what can we do to make sure we can help? Now it's the same way, just more of us. More people in need, more people to be able to meet needs. And it's the same thing. I guarantee if we stood up right here and said, look, there's somebody in our church tonight that has this particular need, if anybody can help, it would be met before this night was over. Because that's how you are. You've been that way from the beginning. And you're continuing to grow and mature and do the same thing. And so he says, and do not neglect in doing good and sharing. Be ready to share. So the question you could ask yourself is, am I using what I have? Am I sharing what I have to help others? And when I do that, I'm offering sacrifices to God. I like how the passage ends. He says, with such sacrifices, God is pleased. I know this is sounds kind of funny, but because God doesn't have a body. Now, Jesus Christ has a body. But have you ever thought that God smiled at you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? When you do something and you think that pleased, I mean, according to what I know from the Scripture, that is pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Incredible way to think about it. We can offer our lives, we can offer our praise and thanksgiving, we can offer our good works, and we can offer our giving and sharing. All of these are sacrifices that please God. So what have we seen in this passage tonight? Just a few verses, but we've seen there's this charge for them to identify with Christ, to move from the temporary old law to the eternal part with Christ. There's the charge for them to offer sacrifices as a priest of God, and we've seen the sacrifices are offered in our bodies, our praise and thanksgiving, our good works, and our sharing. All of that, which is pleasing to God. Well, let me give you the application then. The first one is simply put, let us identify with Christ and not this world. I mean, it is easy to believe in Jesus Christ and then get caught up in the world and be conformed to the world. I think one of the things that I've really noticed, I mean, I noticed it in my life, but I think it's just so easy to see. If you are not actively pursuing to become like Christ, you will be being conformed to this world. It's not a thing that you're just kind of in a state of limbo and you're either not growing or you're growing. If you're not growing, you're definitely going to be conformed to this world. And so it is easy for us to identify with this world. We need to identify with Christ. A, let's stand for Christ in our culture. Let's do it. Let's stand for Him. By what we say, what we do, where we go, our values, we identify with Him. People around us need to know that we belong to Christ. Now, and some of you, when you do that, and some of you have already done that, and you know that there's been some negative things because you stand for Christ. Sometimes it's positive, but a lot of times they're negative. B, let's look to the eternal rather than the temporal. As he said, let's go outside the camp. We don't want to look at this city. We want to look at the lasting city. And in our lives, it is so easy to get caught up with the things of this world. Jesus Christ is the eternal one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We already saw that. Let's be looking toward the New Jerusalem. I mean, that's really what we're looking at, the place that we're going to be with Him. We look toward the kingdom. We're going to be with Him in the old Jerusalem, but then the eternal state and the eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. There's a second application, and that's let's offer to God our sacrifices. You're a priest. It's an amazing thing to me. I mentioned this Sunday morning, and I think it's so important, is there is not in the Bible some kind of distinction between what they call the clergy and the laity. There is no such thing. I'm tired of hearing it. I hear people say that all the time, say, we're going to have a lay thing, and we're going to have some lay people come. And I go, what's wrong with them? What do you mean? They're no different. There is no separate group like that. We are all priests of God when we know Jesus Christ as Savior. We all got different gifts, talents, and abilities and different ways that we can serve, but we're all in the body of Christ and we're to serve. And let us offer to God our sacrifices. Sacrifices are pleasing to God. A, let's offer our lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer our lives as living sacrifices. And I'm going to tell you what, if you have never done that, this is kind of a challenge tonight. If you in your life have never come to the point, now I'm assuming that you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Of course, if you've never trusted Christ, you can trust Him right now. It's by faith in Him and Him alone. He's your Savior. He'll give you eternal life. Trust in Him. But all of us who have trusted in Christ, if you have never come to the point where you said, God, I want my life to count for You, consider that. Now, it's a big step. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to say to God, I give up what I'm, my goals, dreams, plans, in that sense, and I'm going to give my life to You, and whatever You want me to go and wherever You want me to go, it doesn't matter, Lord. I just want my life to count for You. It's a big cost. If you've never done that, you will never be the same if you give your life to Christ for service. If you say to Him, take my life, you will never be the same. And I challenge you, if you've never come to that point in your life, consider, maybe not tonight, but consider in these next 2 to 3 days, what do I want with my life? What do I want to happen? Second, offer our lives. Second, let's offer up the sacrifice of praise. And if you want to write with it, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, because we can do that. We praise Him for who He is and what He's done, and we worship Him and we do all of that. I think it's powerful. Just realize on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and when you're singing and when you're talking and when you're saying something, all of those are sacrifices of praise. See, let's offer the sacrifice of good works and sharing. I put those two together. I just put them together. The sacrifice of doing good, Ephesians 2:10, of sharing, of taking what we have and helping others. And let's do that. Offer those sacrifices as well, because the bottom line is all these sacrifices are pleasing to God. And we want to please Him. I mean, He's our Savior. He died for us. He saved us. He gives us eternal life. We're going to be with Him forever. Wouldn't we like to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done. I'm pleased with that. Good and faithful servant. May we identify with Jesus Christ, not this world, and may we offer sacrifices to God which are pleasing to Him. Let's pray and we'll open up for questions. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank You for this passage. And Lord, as we look at it, we realize that You want us to stand for You, to identify with You, to stand for You even in this culture, and to look to the eternal rather than the temporal. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us in this room that we will, on the campus, in our offices, where we live, our families, we will stand for You and identify as one who belongs to Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, we want to offer up the sacrifice of our lives, and our lips, and our good works, and our sharing. All of this, Lord, we know is pleasing to You. And so, Lord, we do that. We offer that up to You. And may we bring glory to You in everything that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.